chapter 5. We can go ahead and turn on the backlights, please. That'll be the bottom switch. Acts chapter 5 at verse 17. I'll wait for you to get there. Acts 5, 17. And when you're there, say amen. Y'all are so fast. 5, verse 17. Acts chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 17. It's going to be a lot of reading. Is that all right? Is that all right with you?
Amen.
Yeah, this is the Bible, and this is church, right? So it's okay. We can read this now, right? All right. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." Who spoke right there? The angel. Verse 20, that's the angel speaking. You know the angels will speak to you, right? Okay, don't get freaked out when they come. And sometimes you may entertain angels, you don't even know it. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told. What? As they'd been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for their apostles. But on arriving to the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors." Isn't that funny? You got guards standing right there guarding an empty cell. And they don't even know it's empty. But see, they opened the door, took him out, and told him to go tell of this new life. What life is that? The everlasting life. Tell about the news about Jesus Christ, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've witnessed. Go and tell. So they've had a mandate to go do some things, right? Before we continue reading on, I want you to pay attention to who are the ones that persecuted the apostles? High priest. The high priest. Y'all know who the high priests are? Are the ones that are supposed to be the head of the church. Here's what I want to tell you. Anytime there's a new move of God, anytime there's a new spirit that is beginning to be loose in the atmosphere, you're going to have a religious spirit come to try to stop it. Just trying to get somewhere real quick here. When you're about to do something that God has told you to do, the spirit that's going to come against you first, a religious spirit. A religious spirit. And it's going to get you to the point that you're going to feel like you've been put in a box with shackles on. Because you're going to feel like you can't do anything. You can't say anything. You've just got to be still. How many Christians tell you when you're going through, "Oh, you just got to be still." Right? Haven't you heard that? "I'm going through some, just be still. Just be still. Just be still. God's going to teach you something." I've been here before. Right? Haven't you seen that? "Just be still, baby. God's getting ready to teach you something. Just be still." I want to say, you be still. Como que be still? You be still. You're not where I'm at. Ain't that right? They don't know what kind of persecution is coming your way for doing the thing that God told you to do, and you went to go and do it. And not only that, you didn't do it alone. You went out with another person, another apostle, that is in the right standing with God to do the right thing that God called them to do, but yet they get thrown in jail. Haven't you felt that you're doing the right thing and things just don't go the right way, but you're still doing what God told you to do? Sometimes it feels like it's prolonged for you to do what needs to be done. Like there's been a blockage to keep you from going and doing it. And not only are you bound in it, now there's a guard that's going to keep you from coming out. There's always somebody there. There's someone that's going to put you in, and there's someone that's going to watch to make sure that you stay in. Okay. Can I start breaking it down? Because we have here, and then we have here with some of y'all in here. Here's the deal. Every now and then, you're going to walk in your life, and the things that you're supposed to do, they're supposed to be right, supposed to do right. But you will have somebody, then a higher authority, going to tell you not to do it because of a certain way or a certain thing that they believe, and what you believe are two different things. So there's always going to be somebody else in authority. It's going to get you bound. Okay? Can we talk to the children in here, like when you're in school and they don't want you to pray to Jesus? They don't even want you to mention Jesus because why? The authority, the higher authority, has stopped you from doing something that God said that you could and the law said that you could do. The real law says that they, the teachers, can't teach you something about God or Jesus, but you can pray anytime you want to. And you can gather people together, and you can pray, and you can gather a Bible study or a prayer group. You can. But guess what stops it? The higher authority says unto the students, they can't do that. You understand the difference? Okay. Same token. Now we also have these same students. They want to pray. Now here's the guard that's outside the jail cell with the apostles. Here's the guard that's going to guard them from doing the thing that God called them to do. The students. The one that's outside. Who's the one that's outside? Not the one that is against them or with them, but they're told to be there to stop you. It's all their job to do is say, ah, you got to stop that. Oh, can't do that. You can't say that. You know how many people are out there like that? Just watching your every word. Watching your every action. Making sure that you stay right there in that prison cell. That you don't come out. You stay right there. You know the ones. They're the ones that keep you down. They're the ones. I've been praying for you. I know you're going through right now, but I'm praying for you. I know the Lord has really been testing you. I'm praying for you. Doesn't it sound like a religious spirit? Don't you feel like telling them the real thing you really want to say, but you can't say when you really want to say it? Someone hears what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to be real with you because we're in a church society nowadays that everybody wants to tell you your business. Got a prophetic word for you. No, they say that to you. Now. You're like, Pastor, you're something. No, really. They want to give you a prophetic word about why you're going through what you're going through. And what it does, it just keeps you more bound. Haven't you ever felt that? And then the word is a good word. It tickles your ears. It feels good. You get the goosebumps and you get the shakes and everything. Holy Ghost hits you. You're doing real good. But nothing's changed. What did it do? It got you more bitter. Got you more frustrated. Started taking away what hope you had. So you understand what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to bind you with authority and then bind you with the worker. There's principalities, rulers, in the heavenlies. He's giving you the order on how the enemy is working. He's telling you the order, the authority is going to come in to get you thrown in the prison. But then he's going to have a familiar spirit standing outside to keep you there, keep watching you. It's the one that you weren't paying attention to that snuck in. It's the one that you allowed in when you didn't think it was a real spirit. It just happened to come in. What spirit is that? A spirit that's very familiar to you. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it can be a relationship. And sometimes it can be a relationship. What I'm trying to tell you, watch, because it, and I understand what you're saying, a habit, I understand, I appreciate that, and we're going to talk, you can talk to me, it's all right, you know, and I'm glad you said what you said, I want to make my point. Do you know why a lot of people leave churches today? Because they don't have a voice in the church. They do, because we got to be quiet in the church. I come in, and for an hour, I got to be still, can't say nothing. Only when the music is playing, I can say something. Or if they're serving donuts and coffee, I get to talk quick, and then I got to sit down, because then we got to listen to what they're saying. It's funny, I watch y'all. Y'all, real quiet. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Go on, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. It's break time. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you real quick what was going on last night. Oh, my God. And y'all begin to just go on. It's something about that table with donuts and coffee. No, y'all haven't even eaten it yet. The smell gets us. Familiar spirit. See? So, but what happens is we break out into fellowship. Okay? People leave the church because they don't have a voice in the church. Like, they're always told to be quiet, be still. Don't say, zip it. You're in church, zip it. But the reality is a lot of people want to have an input because they have questions. How many of you have questions? Real questions. I mean, not the silliness. What about you have a headache? Can I rebuke it? Yes, you can rebuke it. Take your aspirin and watch it go away. Some things aren't the spirit all the time. But what I'm saying is we all have questions. And we need to be able to interact. That's why I would say I don't take clickers to count how many people are here, or I don't take registration that you're members. We're family. If I go to my mom's or I go to my family's house anywhere, guess what? We're talking. And really, a lot about whatever. Why? Because there's interaction. And I've always said here, and I appreciate the talk back. I appreciate y'all. Go on, Pastor. Tell me. Oh, yeah, I hear that. That's always said, oh, that's my Kathy right there. Because I love when Kathy does that. Why? Because you have a voice. You have a voice. And if you got questions, Pastor, I got a question. Okay, it ain't going to happen all the time. Okay, you're going to pick the right time. Don't have me prophesying somebody going off and down. Pastor, I got a question. Sit down, be still. It's the right time. I'm just going to teach you. I'm just going to teach you a little bit. I'm dealing with the devil, and all of a sudden, like, I want another donut, Pastor. I ain't a donut. I bind you. But what I'm saying is there is a place that the church needs to come to now to say we need to interact. It's never been about the set person. Never been. Jesus even made that point. He came. They didn't know what he was talking about. So he started talking in circles and started talking in mysteries. They didn't understand. Why? So that they could ask another question. Do you understand? He didn't just speak to them. This is what your problem is. No, he gave them a parable so that they would question to get a better understanding. And that's where the church needs to go back to, is that we need to have an interaction with the body so that the body understands they're important. You're saying you're not a number, but you do mean something to us. You mean something to God, more importantly. I'm not a number, and I'm not just a pastor. I'm his child, and I have questions too. Okay? So that's what we need to do. Now, back to this familiar spirit. It's the one that is outside that has crept in that you didn't realize came in. Because it's familiar to you. What do you know about things that are familiar to you? You have a tendency to accept. You accept. How many of you have been in a place that you know there's some activity in a home or some place that you know that is like, I know I saw something, but I don't want to pay attention to it because I've seen it before? You know the one? Because the first time you saw it, you got goosebumps, your hair started to stand up, even if you didn't have no hair, you just stood up anyhow. It happens, but then you get used to it because it's familiar to you and you stick around with it and then you start allowing it to be there. Now it doesn't faze you anymore. But what happens, it's desensitizing you to other things that are coming in. When it comes in, you think it's the same one that was there, but it's more that are coming in. Okay. I'm not teaching demonology. I'm just trying to tell you. Don't get comfortable with what's there that shouldn't be there. Okay? Because if you get comfortable with what's there, it begins to grow. And as it grows on you. It becomes a part of you. You don't realize where it came from, but you invited it in. How? By not getting it out. And it comes in. Now, in this scripture here, the apostles are supposed to do what God told them to do, is to go and preach the good news. Now, an authority came in and put them in jail. Wanted to stop because they were preaching something that they didn't understand. Right? Now, what I'm going to prophesy to you right now is the season that we're in the body of Christ, there's a lot of new things that are transpiring in the spirit. And a lot of old religious people, and I don't mean old in age, but a mindset, doesn't want to change, and it's stopping the move over this very city. I can't talk about other cities. I'm not there, but I can tell you the climate of this city because I'm here. Leave me in another city for a little bit. I can tell you the climate there. Why? Because we're the ones that are able to discern in the atmosphere. All right? Now, in this city, you have a lot of people in churches as authorities that don't want the move of the charismatic movement of the Holy Spirit, what many would call the Pentecostal move, or what many would call the prophetic move, or the signs and wonders move. But yet they want revival. They'll tell you they want revival, but they want it their way. They want it to come from their church. They want it to come through their regimen of authority. That just the way it is. That's just the hierarchy of how church has been. And it's stopping the move of the Spirit of God in the local assembly, regardless of the denomination. And that's the climate over this city. Now, because of that, we as the body of Christ, we tend, okay, can't do nothing about it. Right? Because it's like, well, I'm not the pastor. I can't do that. You know, we think that, well, I can't do that. That's their church. I can't do nothing. I'll just go to this church over here. And you're falling right into the plan of the enemy. He's getting you out of where you're supposed to be. Because if you go where you're supposed to be, where you hear your shepherd's voice, here's what the Bible promises. You'll have clean water, green pastures. You'll have protection. You'll have love. You'll have counsel. And you'll have correction with God. Okay? When you're there, what also happens is that your ministry, because everybody has a ministry. Maybe it's not the platform, but everybody has a ministry, and it begins to grow and flourish under the right covering. But the enemy tries to get you so aggravated, agitated, to get you to get out, and you miss what God had for you.
That's right.
We can't do that. We've seen that too many times. I'm called to do this. Okay, for that week? Okay. The Lord told me to do that for that day? And all kinds of cuckoo. Just flakiness. But you know the real test of what God really said? Is the persecution. Proves it. This is what the scripture shows right here. Because then what God do? In the midst of their persecution, doing the will of God, doing what God told them to do, he sent the angel to loose them from their very bondage, loose them from the very place that they were at, that they couldn't do the thing, but he loosed them, and the one that was familiar, that was watching them, didn't even see. What I'm prophesying to you right now is you're coming out of that place that has you so bound and has you so restricted that you can't see that you're coming out on the other side, but he's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out that the enemy's not even going to realize that he brought you out. He's going to send them to go get those apostles I put in there. And they're going to say, wait a minute, I see the guard still standing there. Say, hey, out here, they ain't gone nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. I'm right here. I've been watching them. Yeah, and watch them because they walk right past you. Why? Because the angel of God can step right in. Pick you up out of that place. Watch this. He didn't shake it. He didn't make loud thunder come. And they didn't hear nothing. It was in the silence. And in the night hour, read the scripture. It was at night. He said, oh, matter of fact, hold on. I know you need the night seasons coming your way. But that's when I begin to work, is when you can't see. Let me see it for you. And then I'll send my hand in there and I'll pluck you up out of that prison cell. And not only that, I'll put you in a place so that you can rest. Because he didn't tell him to go preach at night. He says, wait, but tomorrow go right back in to the city courts. Go to the temple courts. Go in there and begin doing what I told you to do at the very beginning. God has a way of getting you back on track. Even when we get off course ourselves. And in this particular story here, they didn't get off course. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. And it was like all hell came against them. Yeah. And then when they realized, hey, wait a minute. Watch this. Read on a little bit. Read on a little bit more. You'll see that someone else that is not named in what sect that they were in, not even a part of the Sanhedrin, not even a part of the courts, said, hey, the ones you threw in jail, how is it that they knew? Say, I'm sorry, Edwin, I didn't hear. How, what was it?
They was watching.
They were watching. Somebody's always watching you.
Yes.
Go ahead and think there ain't nobody seeing you. Ain't nobody watching how you acting up, acting a fool. Ain't nobody watching me. Ain't nobody know that I'm here. Nobody going to know that I acted a fool today. Ain't no. Somebody's always watching. And someone's always quick to tell. Real quick. And they're going to tell exactly where you're at. Not where you've been, not where you're going, but where you're at. Right? In other words, I know you're going through. God may have came through for a minute, but I'm going to make sure you get put back in. I know where they're at. Over here. Hey, they're over here. They're over here. Yeah, right here. The Frenches, they're right here. Yeah, the ones you told them to be elders. No, they're right here. They got loose. I know you had them bound for a little bit, but they got, I don't know how they got, I don't, it's your guard that messed up, not us. We're the spies. They got loose. And what do? They bring you back. Right back. And watch, read on the story. They go right back before the high priest in Sanhedrin. And then they say, you know what? Hey, I told you not to be preaching this. I told you not to say another word about this. But you're still doing it? We're going to kill y'all. Watch this. Then one of the Sadducees stands up and says, do not touch them, loose them. Wait a minute. Now, how is it the one that is there to really come against you and to really tear you down? Because it says that he was very knowledgeable of the law. He knew the law. He knew the law. Like most Christians that know the word. They know it so well that they want to put you back in bondage. He knew the law so well, but he didn't know Jesus. But something tells me that he understood something about God. Read on. It says, we have seen other men come and profess certain things. If it's of flesh, if it's of man, it'll die. But if it's of God, there's nothing that you can do to stop it. So why don't you loose them and let them go? And let's see what happens. What happened? They flogged the apostles. You know what flogging is? Huh? No, it's not with the flip-flops. It's with those big old sticks. They get hit over the back. Bam, 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 bam. Read on. The last paragraph. What does it say? And they rejoiced. Did I lose some of y'all there? Oh, we don't want to get flogged. And we don't want to feel that flogging and rejoice, right? Look at the progression of doing the will of God. Look at it. Doing the will of God, get thrown in prison. But yet the miracle comes in, gets them out of prison. Mm-hmm. Doing the will of God again. And then they brought back into the courts to be judged again. That's what the church does. They keep judging you. They keep judging you of your past. They keep judging you of your characters. They keep judging you of your moral issues. And guess what? They're not the judge. God is the one. He sees the heart of man. He never judges the outward appearance. If that's the case, we'd all be in hell right now.
Amen.
He sees the heart of man. You know why? Because man is quick to send you to hell. They're quick to say, you're going to hell. I'll see you there. But you know, you want to talk to some of these people that they just think they're all high and mighty and they know they're worth so much. You're going to hell if you keep acting that way. You're going to be there too by talking to me that way. You may get there sooner than you think. Just saying. We get that way. We're like, stop it. I'm going to glory. And if you don't want to go because I'm going to glory and you want to be mad at me because I'm going to glory, well, just keep your mouth shut and follow me and I'll take you there. Why? Because I understand that God didn't come to judge me. He came to set me free.
Amen.
He sent Jesus to set me free from everything that I have going against me and everything that I put against me and things that I create against me and things that I do against me.
Amen.
He set me free from it.
Thank you, Lord.
The same thing he did to the apostles. He set them free. But then not only that, after they go back in front of the courts again, now they say, we're going to kill you. And then they get beaten. How many of you feel the process been like that? Your process is, I'm free, I'm beaten, I'm free, I'm beaten, I'm free, I'm beaten. And then we start singing the song, beat it, beat it. Because we've been beat up so bad. And we have this mentality that we're just a beaten up Christian. Don't forget the miracle that he reached down into your very cell and picked you out and set you free. Now, if he can do that, don't you think he can do the other things as well? He can also silence those that are coming against you. He can also silence the words that have been spoken against your ministry, against your marriage, against your children, against your job, against your baby. Oh, he can silence it all. But the mere fact that you have to go through the hardships and the troubles because you're doing the will of God, don't get bitter. Rejoice. Don't get all mad and all, I don't want to do this no more, God. No, rejoice. Rejoice. It didn't say it was going to be easy. He says, when trouble comes, because trouble's coming. When trouble comes, know that I will deliver you. We get all caught up because we have some extra jewelry on that may be a little heavy. Huh? We got these bracelets that are clank, clank, clank. But he's the key. And lift you right up out of there. Doing the will of God. Don't miss this. Doing the will of God will set you free from some bondages in your life. Miraculously. You may not even know how it's going to be done and in what matter he's going to do it. But he's going to do it. Why is he going to do it? Because he's making sure you fulfill your destiny. Remember I had you, lay hands on yourself. Yeah. You got prayed for by the anointed one. You're anointed. And you laid hands on yourself to deliver yourself from that spirit, the you spirit. And said, not my will, your will. Do the will of God. And he'll bring the ministering spirits and the angels to help you when you get tripped up, get lied on, get cheated on, get beat on. He'll get you out of that very thing. You can't quit. Because when they say they did, they got up and they preached the word. Nowadays, we get people that get beat down. They just quit church, shut the doors down. That's it. They're done. I'm through. Sister so-and-so they offended me. Or brother so-and-so did this. And sister so-and-so did that. And then guess what? Everybody's so offended. Really? We haven't experienced anything like the disciples or the apostles. Nothing. And they continued on. Well, we get offended for everything nowadays. Heaven forbid, let me come in flip-flops and shorts and preach in here. People are like, Pastor done lost his mind. I knew there was something wrong with Pastor. And I'm the one that tells you there's something wrong with me. But because you came to the conclusion something's wrong with Pastor. I tell y'all, pray for me because I ain't right. And I ain't left either. I'm somewhere in the middle with God. And you got to help me, God. He said, I got you, son. I got to keep praying for you. Don't you know that that's how we all are? Every single one of us. Don't look at me with your holy. Y'all are hilarious. Look, there's a gift that God has given. And sometimes you can hear the thoughts of people. I don't like it. I didn't ask for it. And I try to give it back every single time it comes. Trust me. I'm going to say I'll put Bonnie on the spot. The first time Bonnie came, I was hearing some thoughts. I was saying the thoughts. That she was thinking the thoughts. And it was the same thing she was thinking that I was saying. She said, I better stay put right here because I'm thinking it. He's saying it. This is not right. And she ain't left yet. That's how y'all got here because the thoughts. I know the thoughts of man, says God. It's not that my gift. It's not. He knows how to keep the people that he wants to keep. And some of y'all right now are like, Pastor, I'm really working at this. I really am. Good. Work at it. Stumble. Fall. Get up. And keep moving towards what God told you to do. Please. Don't let the enemy take you out over a silly offense or someone talking about you or someone lying about you or someone trying to flog. Okay? Trying to hurt you and beat you. You keep moving forward. When you do that, you will experience the hand of God moving for you. But the very last paragraph says they rejoiced. That's the key to your victory.
Yes.
Is rejoicing. Rejoice. That's what we got to do. It may not look like it's going to happen. It may not even look like the lights are going to be turned on. But He's the light. He'll step right into that very situation. He's the one that's going to turn some things around. Oh, I heard it. Come on, John. I was just going to close. I don't even want to go into this no more because all these kind of things. People say, oh, shit, this is kind of boring tonight. Shit, Pastor, I thought you were going to prophesy. I thought for sure y'all were going to say something. But just, we got all dark in here and it's hot. I'm going to sleep now. Shoot. Hey. Put that teaching a good teaching. And I tried to put on that thing right here and it just didn't work. I just couldn't. I love you, though. No, I love you. No, I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you. You love me. I love it. Come on now. Come on. It's all right. You know your kid. You know you love Barney. All right, Josh, come on. As Minister Michael is handing out the envelopes for your tithes and offering, something short, something sweet, but something that I believe you needed to hear. And I know that God is telling us that there's some great things about to take place for the people of God, but rejoice now. Rejoice now. Don't wait till you come out. Rejoice now. Because we have an advocate. We have someone that is there for us. He's not against us. He's for us. And He's there to help you. He's going to help you. Now rejoice now. Amen. 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 Can I get an amen? No, like you mean it. Amen. That's it. Let that devil know you ain't going to shut my mouth. You're not going to stop my dance, nor are you going to take my praise. You can't. All the amens, hallelujah, some of them still do. Close this door, it's going to become very difficult for about 3 to 6 months. But know this, this will be the final time. There will be a true detox, there'll be a true deliverance, and a true repentance. My hand is on her, says the Spirit of God. Fear not, beloved, for it would not even bother the heart of your mother. I will strengthen and give courage that you will see that I will move the frailty of the heart of your mother
to give her the fortitude to stand during this time. Victory is coming. Victory is coming. Not only is victory coming there, but there's also a heaviness being lifted off of the home. And peace is coming in. Peace is coming in. There's an unsettling in him right now that is about to be settled. And I see the Spirit of God just resting upon him. That's going to make a change in the heart. Know that God is bringing the deliverer to you. You'll feel the difference. You'll see it. I thank God for your faithfulness, but more importantly, for your faith in him. For your faith in him. It would be like God saying, tell her I said thank you. Feel your heart. I say I feel your heart. I feel the heaviness and the disappointment within that very precious heart of yours. But beloved, hear the Spirit of God say that I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. You have done nothing to cause this to come upon you. You're in my will. If this message was just for you, Lord, then know this, my hand will lift you out of this. Oh, precious, sweet Jesus, I thank you for her right now in Jesus' mighty name. I declare that your word, Father God, go forth now. The angels of Almighty God hearken unto the word of the Lord, Father, and bring it into fruition, God. And I thank you, God, right now for deliverance. I thank you for healing. And I thank you right now for the peace that surpasses all understanding. To be loose right now within the homes right now that are represented by the family, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Watch as your garden will bloom. Tonight, you'll see it in the morning. Your garden is about to bloom. You have felt the leaves wither and you've seen the petals fall, but you're about to see your garden bloom once again. You've come from a season of very little and you're getting ready to step into an increase because of your faithfulness to him in Jesus' mighty name. You're about ready to make a decision right now. Stay or go, stay or go, stay or go. God says, the decision that you make, I will bless. I will give you peace right before you make this decision. I will give you peace. But if you stand, you will see my hand move on your behalf. I bless you, beloved. I bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of the living God, have your way in this house tonight. Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, Father, I thank you for the Spirit of the living God. And I thank you for the presence of your angel, illumination tonight that was present, Father. I thank you. That illuminated the word, Father. And it penetrated into the darkest parts of their life, into their soul. Not just to encourage, but to uplift, Father God, and uproot. And I thank you that you plant them by rivers of living water, where their leaves will not wither and their roots will not dry, but they shall produce its fruit in its season. And I thank you for them, Father, and I bless them. Tonight, let this be a night where someone makes a decision just to follow hard after your will, God. And not the will of the flesh, but the will of God. And the things of God, ain't nobody can stop. But if it's of man, oh, it will be stopped. But the mere fact that it hasn't gone away, it's because it's of me, says the Spirit of God. I keep it alive. I keep it going. I keep it maturing, and I keep it coming. To you, because I will bring it to pass in its season. Father, I thank you right now for the spiritual breakthrough and the manifestation and the fruition of your word, Father, in the lives of your people, God. And I thank you if you did it once, you will do it again. I bless bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. I bless what you're doing. And we as a congregation, as a family of God, come in agreement with you right now. And we say yay and amen. In the precious name of our Father, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you have your envelopes, be obedient to the Spirit of God. We do need some items for the outreach. Please see Sister Cherie so you can get that. We have the list up there, but she also has some handouts. The outreach is going to be a success. Period. Why? Because it's not about one ministry. It's about the city. Amen. Hallelujah. In your offering tonight, just be obedient to God. Watch what He'll do for you. Amen. When you release it knowing that it's coming back to you 100-fold. 100-fold. Not the 30, not the 60, but 100-fold. Amen. Because if you're sold out to God 100%, in other words, your heart is for Jesus, watch what He'll do for you. Watch what He'll do. Even when your faith is only at 30%, watch what He'll do. All right. Get your envelopes up as a wave offering before the Lord. Father, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, the name that is above all names, Father, we just thank you right now that you receive this wave offering, Father, of our seed. It is our worship and our giving unto you. And as we sow it, Father, I just thank you right now that you see it. You see our offering because you watch our seed and you watch it into its fulfillment and into its harvest. Father, I just thank you right now that we can believe your word, and we thank you at your word that we will receive our blessing. And some of it is not monetary, God. Some of it needs to be healed, and they're making a sacrificial offering, and there's a healing attached to it. But God, somebody needs a miracle in their life concerning a relationship with the Son. And Father, I thank you right now this is the night that they will see a turnaround blessing on their behalf. And God, I just thank you right now that you know what they're in need of. And you bring that to pass for them. I bless what the Spirit of God is doing in this very season, in this very hour. And I receive the word of the Lord. And Father, I bless them right now in their giving. Lord, that you receive it as incense of worship, God, as they sow tonight. Let this be that turnaround blessing on their behalf. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said, amen. You may serve the Lord and go in peace and go in love. We love you. We'll see you on Sunday. Y'all ready for Sunday? Yes. Amen. See you on Sunday. God bless you guys.